Thank you very much, Bruce, for a very warm and generous introduction. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, as well. It's always a privilege to be able to address a CEDAR audience. As Bruce has intimated, I have a long and happy association with CEDAR that goes back, more than 25 years, as it turns out. CEDAR published my very first academic paper, so it has a special place in my professional life. And as many people have pointed out, ironically enough, that was the only paper that I ever wrote on labour economics. So there's a link between my being here today to talk about a brand new labour market institution and the fact that all those years ago CEDAR had faith enough in me to publish my earliest academic paper. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've titled my talk to you this afternoon, Introducing the Fair Pay Commission. And I guess I did intend a double entendre there. It is about introducing the commission, in as much as I will be talking to you about what we're hoping to do, who's on the commission, what its legislative parameters are, and how it's supposed to work. So I'm introducing it to you in that regard. But of course, introducing the Fair Pay Commission is my task, to actually bring about the commission, to establish it from a blank piece of paper, in fact, to start up from the base, to build it, and to ensure that it does the task which our Parliament has legislated it to do. The Commission was established on the 15th of December last year. It was one of the first parts of the new Work Choices legislation to receive royal assent and to take on its life from that moment. Its wage-setting powers, however, did not commence until the 27th of March, just a little over a month, in fact, a month ago today. And at that time also, as you'll recall, the other four commissioners were also appointed. I'll mention them in a moment. The task of the Australian Fair Pay Commission, as set down in the legislation, can be summarised really very simply. The task of the Fair Pay Commission is to set and adjust minimum wages, and as the Act says, so as to promote the economic prosperity of the people of Australia. Now, while that's easily said in one phrase, there is a very complex set of minimum wages in our country, as you would appreciate. In remarks on other occasions, and in fact the Minister, Mr. Andrews, has also made the point on more than one occasion that the Australian Fair Pay Commission is loosely modelled on the British Low Pay Commission, which was established by the Blair government to set a minimum wage in Britain. Now, the two commissions are modelled on each other to the extent that they're likely to go about their business in much the same way. But there, as has been recently pointed out, the similarities probably end. In Britain, they didn't have a minimum wage, and the Low Pay Commission in Britain has now introduced a minimum wage. In Australia, we have a long history of minimum wages, as you would be aware, something like a century's worth of minimum wages, running right the way back to Mr. Justice Higgins in 1907. And not just one minimum wage, but minimum wages that apply to all the so-called award wage classifications. So as we sit here today, there are something like around about 40,000 minimum wages in Australia. There are 4,000 awards, roughly, and each of those awards has roughly 10 classifications, and in each of those classifications there is a minimum wage. Now, partly because of the complexity of that, the government has established another task force, the Award Simplification Task Force, who is working in tandem with the Fair Pay Commission and is due to bring a report forward to the government shortly. And that report will provide a simplified structure, or recommendations about simplifying the award structure, in an attempt to reduce the number of minimum wages which our present system has. But be that as it may, it will be true for quite some time into the future that Australia has a large number of minimum wages. At the very bottom of that pyramid, there is something called the federal minimum wage. And the federal minimum wage is the lowest wage that can lawfully be paid to employees of constitutional corporations. That becomes the bedrock. Now, having said that, of course, there are fractions of the federal minimum wage, so-called special minimum wages, which are payable to juniors, to trainee employees, and to workers with disabilities. But the federal minimum wage, in that sense, becomes the anchor of the system. So the Fair Pay Commission's task is to set and adjust the federal minimum wage, all of those wages that hang off it, and then the classification wages that rise up above the federal minimum wage. Can I point out that this is the task which the Industrial Relations Commission has undertaken in each of the safety net reviews that it's undertaken over recent years? So that part of the job is not new. The Industrial Relations Commission has been setting minimum wages in every safety net review, reaching back over many years. Those wage-setting powers under the new legislation have been transferred from the Industrial Relations Commission across to the Australian Fair Pay Commission, and that's what the Australian Fair Pay Commission does. It sets and adjusts those minimum wages. It is, in fact, one of four regulators which the new legislation establishes. The Industrial Relations Commission, of course, continues to exist. However, it won't be setting wages. That task has been moved across to the Fair Pay Commission. There's the Office of the Employment Advocate and the Office of Workplace Services, which have their own regulatory responsibilities. In general, how I interpret what the government has done here is, broadly speaking, to introduce the possibility of market forces having a greater say over wages in particular and conditions, subject, of course, to the minimum standards which are now part of the Australian Fair Pay and Classification Standard, subject to those minima. The idea is that you're able to negotiate with employers, collectively or individually, over whatever terms and conditions suit, subject to those minimums. The regulation that applies provides a base level below which those terms and conditions cannot be lawfully negotiated. The Australian Fair Pay Commission, in that sense, is a regulator which sets the minimum wage for particular classifications that can lawfully be negotiated. In particular, the Fair Pay Commission is asked to focus on the circumstances of low-paid Australians. So in setting minimum wages, the Fair Pay Commission does not have carte blanche. In particular, it is not possible for the Fair Pay Commission to set minimum wages below the nominal level, which was set by the Industrial Relations Commission in last year's safety net wage review. That is $12.75 an hour, which is the federal minimum wage. That is still the federal minimum wage. And it is not possible for the Commission to find or set a minimum wage which is below that level in nominal terms. But in deciding what minimum wages will be, both the federal minimum wage and, as I say, the various special minimum wages for juniors, trainees and disabled workers, and the minimum wages for the other classifications, there are four very important criteria set down here in the Act which the Fair Pay Commission must take on board. And you can see them written up there. The capacity of the unemployed and low-paid to obtain and remain in unemployment. In employment, I should say. Employment and competitiveness across the economy. Providing a safety net for the low-paid, and providing minimum wages for juniors, trainees and disabled workers to ensure their competitiveness in the labour market. Now, you can see that there's an emphasis there on the Fair Pay Commission focusing on the circumstances of the unemployed and the low-paid. In particular, there is a balancing to be done by the Fair Pay Commission in recognising that minimum wages are at one and the same time an employer's cost and part of an employee's income. Minimum wages could also be part of what keeps an unemployed person out of work. The Commission, in thinking about how to set minimum wages, has to balance those forces. It has to think about the fact that minimum wages could be an obstacle to unemployed people finding work. They could be the basis upon which an employer decides to dismiss a person from work, particularly low-paid work. They could also, of course, or will also be part of a person's income, an employed person's income. They will form part of the safety net. In one case, if you were just to focus on one of those criteria, you might see that raising minimum wages was the only way to go. If you looked at the other criterion, you might conclude the opposite. The Act has been carefully drafted to oblige the Fair Pay Commission to balance both of these forces. In seeking to raise minimum wages, to be very cautious about the impact that minimum wages might have on the chances of unemployed people finding work and of low-paid Australians retaining their work. On the other hand, recognising that the minimum wage is a very important component of the safety net for low-paid Australians. So there is clearly a focus here on the circumstances of the low-paid, and that is another area in which the Fair Pay Commission shares its brief with the British counterpart, the low-paid Commission, where the government has recognised that whatever might be appropriate for negotiations among employers and employees at higher levels of income, there is a special purpose, a special focus provided by the Australian Fair Pay Commission on the circumstances of low-paid Australians. Ladies and gentlemen, the market will not set the wage for low-paid Australians. The Australian Fair Pay Commission has been charged with that responsibility. The market will set wages higher up the spectrum. That is, in a sense, the essence of the work choices legislation, as I understand it. But for low-paid Australians, those wages will be fixed by the Australian Fair Pay Commission, and it will be unlawful for anyone to be employed at wages below the levels which the Commission sets. On the 27th of March, Minister Andrews announced the four other members of the Fair Pay Commission, my fellow commissioners: Mr. Hugh Armstrong, former National Executive President of the Australian Services Union; Mr. Patrick McClure, currently CEO of Mission Australia and has been since 1996; Mr. Mike O'Hagan, who owns and directs his own moving business in Queensland, Mini Movers; and Professor Judith Sloan, Labor economist, company director and part-time commissioner with the Productivity Commission. I'm delighted to welcome my four fellow commissioners to the Commission, and we've met already twice, soon after they were appointed on the 30th of March, and again last week on the 20th of April for a full planning day, and I'm greatly encouraged by how we're pulling together as a team, and the fact that we all have a very strong commitment to this new institution and to the very important task with which it's been charged. The Fair Pay Commission is supported by a full-time secretariat, Ms. Jennifer Taylor, who is the director of the secretariat. At the moment, there's about another five or six folk who have been appointed to the secretariat as well. You might have noticed in advertisements in last weekend's press that there were other positions being advertised by Jennifer to join the secretariat. I don't imagine that the secretariat is going to be an especially large body, but something I suppose of the order of 20 or so people will be its size, and its task is to support the Commission and to provide us with the necessary services that we need to do our job. The Commission's offices are located at the other end of Collins Street, the developing end of Collins Street, as somebody referred to it recently, 595, the old transport house. I was offered a number of premises that people thought might be appropriate for the Commission, and the very first one that I was offered was the 28th floor of the Rialto Tower. It didn't take me long to work out that I probably wouldn't see too many low-paid Australians from the 28th floor of the Rialto Tower. So, well, with due respect to the owners of that fine establishment, we turned that one down, and I went to some facilities, as I say, at 595 Collins Street on the 6th floor there we'll be. And that building, I think, is accessible, easily accessible by road and rail and tram, as you'd be aware. We share the building with the Registry of Births, Deaths and Marriages on the ground floor, the Department of Human Services and Railtrack. So there's plenty of access for disabled folk, and it's a very easily get-attable place, which is what I was keen for us to be able to do. There will be facilities there for us to meet with people as individuals or as groups, and I think I'm hopeful that those facilities will serve our purpose as well as we go forward. Well, we must make our first determination by spring of this year, which I take to be sometime September, November, in that particular bracket of months. Obviously, as we get a bit closer in and the process starts to become clearer, I'll be in a stronger position to be more specific about that. But at this stage, it's sometime in there. The Act allows the Commission to inform itself by undertaking or commissioning research, consulting with organisations and individuals, and monitoring the impact of its wage-setting decisions. This really comes to the core of the difference between the way the Fair Pay Commission is obliged to operate and the way in which the Industrial Relations Commission has operated to do exactly the same thing. Over a very lengthy period of time, the Industrial Relations Commission has adopted, by virtue of its Act and its Constitution, what has been described as a quasi-judicial approach. It is a judicial body of sorts. The rules of evidence don't apply, but other than that, the Industrial Relations Commission has always adopted what I think most lay people, certainly myself, would recognise as a judicial process, with representation by people who have been given leave to appear before the Commission, cross-examination and such like. That is not the way in which the Fair Pay Commission will operate. The Fair Pay Commission is constituted, set up, to be a consultative body. And its remit is to reach a decision about minimum wages based upon whatever means it chooses to inform itself, but in particular, these that you have written up on the slide before you. Undertaking and commissioning research, consulting with organisations, and monitoring the impact of our wage-setting decisions. So what you can expect to see is a much wider range of Australians putting their views to the Australian Fair Pay Commission. We are not operating on the basis that we give people leave to come. Anybody who would like to put a view to the Commission is welcome to do so. I'll mention in a moment the various mechanisms that we'll have in place. Before doing so, let me say that the other end of the process, once the wage determination has been made, then the law provides that those determinations are binding on all parties. Our determinations, as the law says, are not a legislative instrument. Well, we're underway. As I mentioned a moment ago, the Commission, all five of us, have met on two occasions already. Last week, as I said, we had a full day's planning meeting. We'll meet again at the end of next week in Sydney. And I believe that we do, as a group of people, a group of five Australians, from very different backgrounds, with very different experience, I might add, we share an appreciation of the importance of our task, especially for unemployed and low-paid Australians. And I think I can share with you one of the first things I did right at the very outset of what was an historic meeting of our new commission. I asked my fellow commissioners to share with us just a little picture of what they felt would be their dream for the Australian Fair Pay Commission. Why were they there? What did they really think this was about, and what would really thrill them if we were able to achieve it? I won't embarrass my fellow commissioners by telling you what they said, but can I just say that they were very moving testaments on the part of people from very widely different backgrounds here in Australia about what it was that we were doing, what we'd been tasked to do, and what our hopes were for the work that lay before us. And in particular, there was a clear shared commitment to this new way of doing things, and a shared concern amongst each one of us around that table for the plight of our unemployed and low-paid fellow Australians. Breadth of experience. I mean, listening, for example, to Hugh Armstrong speak, who worked for many years in the Merchant Marine as a ship's engineer. I could sit and listen to Hugh for hours. He tells stories about his life and what he has seen that are totally foreign to my experience as an academic. And much the same is true of Mike, who is a small businessman and built up his business from $25 in his pocket, I think, when he came from New Zealand. And Patrick McClure, who can tell some very moving stories about what he's seen on the streets of Sydney and elsewhere. And Judith and I, of course, are both economists, and so we tend to have shared more common experience. But I'd just like to assure you that around that table, there are five people who bring to this very important task a wide range of experience and views and knowledge and passion about what it is that the Commission's been asked to do. This is not, ladies and gentlemen, it is not a narrow scientific exercise. It's not. If that were all that was involved in deciding how to set minimum wages, then we'd get a machine to do it. This is not about that. This is about people's lives. And part of the reason the Commission has been set up, I believe, to go and listen to people, to go out and meet and listen to people, is to inform us, to inform ourselves of all the nuances about what it means to be a low-paid Australian, that ours, staring at mute statistics, will not help you to appreciate. That's what the Fair Pay Commission is about. And that's what is exciting the five of us who have been asked by the government to undertake this task. Well, the consultations that we've set before us are about to start. On the 1st of May, next Monday, you will see advertisements calling for formal submissions. And that bit, of course, is quite familiar to those of us involved in public policy exercises like this. So there will be a call for formal written submissions, and they'll be due by the end of July, as you can see there. But we're going to engage a range of mechanisms for consulting the Australian public about these important issues. You can send us an email. We'll have a 1-800 number. We will set up focus groups. We've already established stakeholder meetings and roundtables. There'll be site visits a little later on, public meetings, and of course, like today, my commissioners and myself will be speaking to meetings like this, giving presentations about our work and the progress that we're making. We'll travel around Australia, and we aim to hear from a wide range of people, especially the low-paid and those people who employ low-paid workers. We're also asked to research. That process has begun as well. We have let our first research contract, which, as you can imagine, is just a survey of the field. Just to go to the second part of that slide there, important preliminary research questions. Well, what do we know about the impact of minimum wages on employment and unemployment? What does the academic or formal literature tell us about that? We've asked somebody to undertake a survey of that for the Commission. The research in general will be commissioned in the first instance. I don't expect that the Commission, certainly not in this first year, will have the resources available to it to be able to conduct a lot of research on its own part. We'll do some, but most of it will be commissioned. It'll be staged to reflect our needs and priorities. It'll be focused on filling gaps in our knowledge and the community's knowledge about minimum wages, and it'll be publicly accessible, at least after the determination has come down. And there, as I say, are three examples of what we considered when we met together were important preliminary research questions. That is not an exhaustive list, obviously, but it gives you some idea of the sorts of things that we're wanting to have research done on to bring to the attention of the Commission. What do we know, as I say, about the impact of minimum wages on employment and unemployment? Who are the low-paid in Australia? Where do they work and live? A lot of that information, I'm informed, can be obtained by using existing databases and reading them in different ways, cross-classifying them in different ways, and we're hopeful of getting that work underway very shortly. And how are the incomes of low-paid workers affected by changes in minimum wages? There's a lot of interest in this topic, as you know. People have said to me already, well, you know, how are you going to deal with this issue, pardon me, of the interaction between minimum wages and the tax and social security system? Well, that's an excellent question. We're going to put that research question out as one of our early questions and try and get a sense of that, because you can clearly, moving minimum wages around is not the whole story when it comes to influencing the incomes and living standards of low-paid Australians. That certainly has changed over the last 100 years. When Mr. Justice Higgins was making this decision, setting minimum wages, that basically was the income for a family. Well, it's no longer true, of course. The social security system and the tax system influence what comes out from somebody's wage to a far greater extent than was true in 1907. In fact, the income tax, if my history serves me correctly, wasn't even set up until 1915. Well, here's a little chart that shows an overview of the process. The Commission essentially is about gathering information, and you can see the different mechanisms there, research, consultation, focus groups, and so forth. We have our communication strategy. There's a division of the Commission, presently consisting of two people, who look after that for us with the help of external consultants, obviously, running our consultations, organising our public affairs and media, getting our presentations and speeches up to speed, and beginning to manage our relationships with our stakeholders. The analysis that will take place through research, the input from consultations and submissions, is an essential process to us deliberating and then finding what the minimum wage or set of minimum wages will be. The timetable over which we hope to undertake this activity, you can see there before you. So we've already been engaged in the information gathering stage, planning one-on-one meetings. For example, tomorrow, I'm sure she won't mind my saying, I'm meeting with Prue Goward down at the Commission's offices to talk about important aspects that Prue wants to raise with the Commission about, obviously enough, relationships or how wages might affect gender equality in the workplace. I'm sure that's one thing that Prue will be raising with me tomorrow. And reviewing the data. Stage two, beginning 1 May, we move into the next phase of stakeholder roundtables, research, site visits, ongoing presentations. July to September, public meetings, focus groups, our submissions will come in. And then effectively we retire to deliberate and to produce a minimum wage determination sometime in that period, September to November. I don't know exactly when, but as the process evolves and it becomes clearer, I will be very keen to let people know when they can expect a determination. That's only fair, and I'm well aware of the need for that. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've commenced our task. The Fair Pay Commission is up and running, which is really the key message I wanted to bring to you today, and I thank CETA for the opportunity to do that with you. The Fair Pay Commission is up and running. We'll be calling for submissions from next Monday. You can keep an eye on our progress on the website, the address you can see there, and you can expect to see commissioners involved in meetings around the country between now and mid-August. We welcome your input to the deliberations. If this new way of determining minimum wages is to work for us all and to work especially for our most vulnerable countrymen, unemployed and low-paid Australians, then it is essential that people become a part of the process, put in your views, give us the benefit of your wisdom and experience, and allow us as five Australians of intelligence and goodwill to come up with a determination on our collective behalf. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of my fellow commissioners, I welcome your support. Thank you very much.